Okay, we're doing our class on the Jewish home, and the pasuk describes the relationship Hashem has with the Jewish people in the Song of Songs. And Hashem says about the Jewish people, Achat hi yonati tamati. My dove is perfect, she is singular. There are many doves out there, but she's my dove. Achat hi yonati tamati. My dove is singular. She is tamati, like the word tam, complete. Achati leima, to her mother, she is singular. Hashem says his relationship with us is also a matronly relationship. Barai leyolata, she is so clear. She is so beautiful in the eyes of the one who bore her. So, in our relationship, obviously, we know we're building a monogamous relationship, right? No one's marrying two wives over here. No one's marrying two wives over here. And one of the greatest feelings that a person can have in a relationship is the feeling that our spouse feels like we're the most important person in the world. And it seems obvious, but it's not. You ask the average person how they feel about it, and most people will tell you they don't get that feeling. And a person has to make a conscious effort to give their spouse that feeling. Achati yonati tomati. She is singular. We'll go on to the next part of the pasuk later, but you're number one. Very, very simple concept. You are number one. Well, let's see. If she was really number one, then how would I behave? How would that be reflected in our relationship? It's a good question to ask ourselves. And there are two components to this question. The first, you guys probably, you'll all be willing to attest that you want to do, you intend to do. And that is that if I have a choice of making someone else happy or my wife happy, well then my wife should come first. And there are pressures that go the other way. I'll give you many simple examples. Okay? You're on the phone and your wife starts asking you questions. Now you're on the phone and it's pretty annoying that she's asking you these questions as you're trying to have a conversation. So what do? Well, it's like a fly that's buzzing in front of you. You do this, right? So you don't wave with your hand, but you basically wave with your mouth. You say, later, honey. I'm on the phone, right? I'm on the phone. Wait, who's number one and who's number two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten? If she is really number one, so then the fact, you're telling a good joke. You're telling a good story, and everyone's captivated. And suddenly she asks a question that's out of left field. And if you address her question, you're going to lose the point you've been trying to make. Well, who's number one? How many times, if you haven't seen this, then you'll pay attention. You'll notice this happens all the time. The guy's in the middle of saying a Dvar Torah. You know, so he's talking about Hagar and Yishmael, and she says, do we know how old Hagar is? And he's thinking, what does that have to do with the Dvar Torah I'm saying? So he could stop and answer her. And she's asking him a question out of left field, but he's in the middle, and she cut him off. Wait, who's number one? And there are 500 examples to this. You know, on any given day, there are tremendous examples of how this plays itself out. I gave the small example. You're on the phone, your wife asks you a question. You're having a conversation with your mother, and your wife has a question. You're talking to someone and your wife walks into the room and says, who are you talking to? So you feel like, I'll tell you later. Why? Is she number one or isn't she number one? It's a simple question. I challenge you to ask yourself that question over and over again in the marriage. And we don't realize that there are many, many simple decisions that we make that give over the vibe, you're not number one. We think that she's number one. But let's ask ourselves, you're running late to a meeting. You're running really late. She asked you to help her pick up the kids. You went with her to pick up the kids. And now as you're driving home, she says, can you just bring up the groceries before you go to catch your bus? And you're thinking, hey, honey, I'm late. I already went with you longer than I should have. Now you want me to take up the groceries? Question, who's number one? So you can argue, I got to do my work. I got to do my job. I didn't say the answer has to be, I'm going to walk you up and take the groceries. But there are different ways to say that. And the question is, and now we're going to shift to the second part of the question. The first question is she number one? And we have to challenge ourselves because naturally, the way marriages work, there are going to be many, many, many opportunities for us to give her that message one way or the other. And it's a real message. But there's another question here, and that is, what feeling do I give her? And that's a totally different question than the first one. The first one is a reality check. Is she really number one in my life? And if she is, then that should be reflected in many things I do. You have 5 minutes before a meeting. Do you call home to tell her, hey, I want to wish you a great day? Or do you check the stock market and do a million other things with those 5 minutes that you have what to do with? You have free time on the bus. There are gaps of time we have in life. And simple question, is she number one? That's a reality check. But then, even if you've lived up to that question, there's a different question, and that is, does she feel like she's number one? Which is a totally different question. And that we have to learn the skill of making her feel like she's number one. And if you could do number two, if you could do part two of what we're discussing now, then part one becomes less important. What's really important is part two. She has to feel like she's number one. Part one's also important. They do tend to go hand in hand, but not only. If your wife gives you the feeling that you're number one, then you won't hold it against her when she can't take you to the bus. When you're at the bus and you wish she'd pick you up because you're going to get drenched walking from the bus stop to the house, and she doesn't have the time. If you really understand that you're number one in her life, then you understand she isn't doing this because she can't, not because I'm less important. One of the great messages that couples miss in giving one another is that you're number one. You ask the average husband, do you feel like you're number one in your wife's life? You know what he's going to answer? Well, to some degree I am, because if I'm not around, she's going to have a heck of a hard time paying the mortgage. So in that sense, I'm number one. That's the sense, you're number one. You ask a wife, are you number one by your husband? And she'll say, well, he couldn't raise the kids without me. I guess I'm number one. That's the answer you want to hear? But that's a real answer. That's the real answer that most husbands and wives will give you because they haven't worked on a different answer.
Is this supposed to be demonstrated in the dating process also?
I don't think this has nothing to do with dating. I keep saying this. This class has nothing to do with dating. As in zero, nada, efes, zilch. This has nothing to do with dating. When you're dating, she's not your wife. Why should she be number one? Reality. Who is she? I don't know you yet.
Rob, can I just offer a side comment here to that discussion right now? My previous life, I know I'm trying to leave it behind now, but in my previous life, that wasn't necessarily something you would say. You would definitely ask such a question.
Okay.
And there would be a process of getting to know someone. They should have, you know, your thought, your attention, your presence of life, so to say.
I definitely think you shouldn't answer a cell phone on a date, but that's right. Not because she's number one. It's because she's an important person,
okay,
who might become number one.
Right. Okay. This is an interesting question, I thought.
I agree it's an interesting question, but I think legitimately she's not number one.
So
you're dating her, and if you have an important business meeting, you're going to say, I'm very sorry, I have to rush to that meeting.
No.
I'm sorry.
That becomes basically the only question when she's either engaged or when she's married.
When you get engaged, that's a good time to start practicing.
Okay.
Fine, then she becomes number one.
So.
When you're dating, I don't know, we might break up tomorrow. It's easier when you're dating and engaged to give her that feeling.
Right.
It's harder in the course of life. Life is less taxing when you're just dating and engaged.
You said before that we have to start learning how to make it feel like that. How does one start?
Oh, so that's another question. How do you make someone feel like they're number one? So I want to take some of the examples we just discussed, and let's see course of action according to part one, course of action according to part two. You're on the phone, and you're talking to your boss. It's an important conversation. And your wife walks into the room and says, who are you on the phone with? So you remember she's supposed to be number one. You tell the boss, excuse me, just a second. You put the hand on the receiver and you say, I'm on the phone with my boss. I can't really talk now. Okay? You continue the conversation, and a minute later she's got a question about what you're discussing. So you walk into the other room and close the door. You told her, I can't do this, right? Nothing personal. I stopped the first time I answered the question. But how would we answer her? I still might have to walk into the other room. But how would we answer her if we wanted her to feel like she's number one? If you pay close attention, you will see that there are couples that every word they say to one another, it's a show of affection. Every time they look at one another, it's a show of affection. There are couples who are busy, but they'll show respectful, you're number one. And then there are couples that whenever they're going to turn to their spouse, they're going to try to talk to them and look at them and approach them in a way that expresses, I love you. Not just you're number one. Most people don't have this skill. It's something to work on. And those who develop this skill, well then, when they have to walk into the other room because it's a conversation that they cannot be interrupted in, they're going to be able to do it as they're showing their spouse they miss them, they love them, they might blow them a kiss as they walk into the other room, they might wave fondly as they walk into the other room. How would most of us react? We'd get all uptight. It's like was demonstrated earlier, we mouth the words, I'm on the phone, right? What we're trying to do is get her to work with our system because we're acting the part of you're number one. But if we want to feel the part of you're number one, then we would show affection with it. Remember, everything you do revolves around the question, do you love me? There's nothing you do that isn't revolving around that question. So us being male, we're going to put a check in that box. We're going to stop the conversation, put the hand over the receiver and say, I'm talking to the boss. But as we say it, we're biting our lip, containing our nerves, trying to say it in the most polite way, and there's nothing loving about that sentence. I'm trying to be respectful. I learned she's supposed to be number one. Ah, let's switch. Let's say it's not just she's supposed to be number one. Let's make her feel like she's number one. So then I have to think how I can do that. And again, different codes for different couples, but I'm going to have to think how to do that, and it's a habit. It's a learned habit. If we could learn that habit, then again, when there will be times where I can't do it, then it's going to be accepted that way. If it's the predominant atmosphere in the home, that she's number one, and she's important, and I care about her, and I love her, and it's not just a technical, you're number one. It's that you're number one and there's no one who's number two or three. You're a different range. You're a different planet. You and I. Everything else is a separate planet. The Talmud tells us about Sarah that everyone looked like a monkey next to Sarah. Sarah was so beautiful, everyone else looked like a monkey next to her. So I know a couple that the husband jokes, you go to the supermarket and there are the women at the checkout line, right? So what are they called in Hebrew? The cash register is called a kupa, right? Kupa. That's what they call the register. And the woman at the register is called a kupait, the one responsible for the cash register. So kupait sounds like kofit. Kofit is a female monkey. So I know a guy that calls home and says to his wife, I walked around here and I saw so many monkeys just thinking of you. I only saw monkeys around me. I walked, right? Does a guy come home and say other things, or does he come home and say, I was walking around thinking of you and everyone else, monkeys, but I was thinking of you. So we're not saying you should say that next to the woman at the cash register, right? But the idea, how do I make her feel? That, again, the principle is not only part one, how do I behave? It's also what message am I conveying? And the message is not just a technical one, it's an emotional one. And we have to think about how to convey that emotion so that she will feel that she is number one.